Good evening. Let me start with a sort of announcement. Winnie Padway family asked for prayers due to the passing of her grandson, Jabari. So please be praying for her, reach out to her, comfort her. He passed yesterday. Let's reach out to her. There's no arrangements that have been made yet, so for now, just we can reach out and see how she's feeling and maybe see what we can do for her. Amen?
Amen.
Right. We're in our second last classes of eight. I hope it's been helpful.
Amen.
Has it been?
Yes.
Okay. And you have the book, so at your pace, keep implementing what you're figuring out.
Amen.
Today, meeting the needs of acceptance and praise. That is number seven. Quick question. How many of us grew up feeling accepted for who you are? Not for what you are, for who you are. You grew up feeling accepted for who you are. One, two, three, four, five. Very few, though. Very few. Okay, there's a difference between who you are and what you are. The whole sum of you, the ugly and all that stuff, is accepted. And sometimes it can be very conditional. Does that make sense? So this, just a warning that sometimes you may feel different things, but the whole idea is to make us aware so we're not repeating the same things to our children. Acceptance and praise. Is this what most children in the U.S. feel? What do you guys think?
No.
They don't feel like that. And why is that?
Moms, dads are busy.
That's one. Society tells them, unless you're this, we're not going to like you. Trying to keep up with next door neighbor. So,
trying to live up to standards that society sets that are impossible to reach.
So standards that society is setting. So your child, our children are being talked with a lot of things. Society, next door neighbor, all that is flying and we are busy. And they may not be feeling that. So I want to say that we really need to take time to begin to accept and praise who they are. Is their experiences a bit more like this? I'm not going to show a movie on that because I didn't think we were going to manage it. Yeah, the movie was not something I wanted to put here. But it's based on Dead Poet Society, and you see how the father is not accepting his son. It's a good movie you can watch. Dead Poet Society is a very good movie. Watch that. You'll see what happens. Dead Poet Society, and you can watch that. But here's what it says. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. What does that scripture teach you about our children? A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. How we look at them. Jesus looked at them and loved him. Remember that scripture? You can look at your children and love them. And you can look at your children and like, who gave birth to you? You can say that with your eyes without ever saying a word.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about in the previous classes about how majority of our communication is nonverbal. It's what we look like. It's the expression in our eyes that they perceive. We can tell them they're the greatest thing in the world, but if we're looking frustrated, they're going to know that's not true. Right.
So you communicate more than you think you are. Just your language, because your body speaks. In the biggest communicator of your communication is your body language. It's not your words are 7%. The biggest is your body language and the tone.
Plus, a lot of times, the parents don't even really look at their kids. They're so busy getting their coffee, getting their dinner, getting everything done. They're not even giving them a cheerful look.
So we don't give them a cheerful look. So make a habit of giving them a cheerful look when you come from work. Amen. A habit of giving them a cheerful look and talking to them. I know you're tired, and I know the boss wasn't the most good guy, but this is family. Be nice to family. Make sense? All right. And good news gives health to the bones, praising them. But I think I want to qualify this. Praise the effort. Don't praise the result. Praise the effort. That's what you want to stick with. Stick with the effort they're putting in.
Also, it needs to be legitimate.
legitimate praise, not fake praise. If they're stinging it out, don't be praising funny stuff. They're going to figure out that you're just trying to pump them up. Be legitimate, okay? Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. How about that? This is about how we speak to our children. You know, I was speaking to Joe Cook. I think he doesn't mind me sharing this. He was going with his mom to church, and she said, and the people were pretending to speak in tongues. And Joe Cook asked the mom, so why are they just pretending to speak in tongues? It doesn't feel real. And the answer the mom told him was, I found that profound. She said, it's real for them. And I said, your mom was ahead of time. talk about giving an answer that the child leaves thinking, okay, that's that person, that's not me. I may not like it, but that's not me. You follow that? So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of answers are we giving? They're asking questions. If we don't give the right answers, they're just jumping onto the internet and figuring it out. And the internet is a construct world. I can put my own opinions and your kid will read it and say, yeah, it's true, but it was my opinion. And I can pay for it to come out of the first thing they search, you see. I can form children by just opinions I put on the internet. So be careful that we're really giving answers, but we're also trying to help them with knowledge, but the mouth of fools gush fully. So be careful what you say, especially when you're upset. Okay? Don't react. Take a moment before you say what you want to say. Take a moment. If you're in the habit of just saying things because you see, you just call it out. Your house has a certain dynamics. If this happens, then you go here. The kids almost know, I'm going to do this and this is going to happen. You don't want that to happen. You don't want to be predictable. You want to wait and think through stuff.
Amen.
Right? Matthew 23:24. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of a spice of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the what? Of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out what is that again? Not but swallow a camel. Quick question. What do you think this scripture refers to us as parents raising children? Focus on the right things. But is that, what is it addressing? What is this scripture addressing?
Inside.
The inside? Okay. What is this addressing?
Not being a hypocrite.
Not being a hypocrite is a big thing. Kids don't do what you say. Kids do what you behave, how you behave.
Right.
Not being a hypocrite is a big thing for kids. What about mercy? Faithfulness, justice. These are important things. So we can be very legalistic, but not sure. No, we don't teach children how to forgive. We don't teach children how to love, how to let go of stuff. That's something you teach. Some people are very vindictive. You wonder where that happened. Nobody taught them how to let go. You got to teach your child how to let go of stuff. It doesn't come naturally. You got to be taught. And if you haven't taught yourself, then start with yourself. Then teach the child. Am I making sense? And then you can be a hypocrite. You got to work. Because sometimes you're teaching kids and they're like, but the way you're saying it, it doesn't come out like a Christian at all. You follow that? And they start judging you, but they can't tell you. But they're thinking, this is not Christian at all, the way you talk about it. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about children, who they are. Multiple intelligence. What does it have to do with acceptance and praise? Kids are very different and how intelligent they are. So we're going to look at different things they are and see whether you accept them for who they are. Because it depends with how you are raised. depending from what country you come from, education background, so they have different emphasis on different things. Find things to praise. That's very important. Find things they do well. I hope your child does something right. And I hope you tell them. Accept our children's strengths and weaknesses. I know your child has weaknesses. How do you feel about it? Do you accept them? Nurture the intelligence in our children. We want to learn to fan into the flame our children's strengths and table our children's biggest and become our biggest children's biggest fans. Now, this sports, sports is easy because you're seeing it happen. What about at home? What about just life? You can't do it only in sports. Do it as a person. What is it that these children have that you want to be a part of? The multiple intelligence. Our children have different gifts and intelligence, and we should accept and praise them. According to Howard Gardner, the difference of intelligence are as here. One. Logical mathematical IQ, indicative of logical mathematical and scientific ability. Some kids are very good with numbers. They'll pick up cars, they'll keep a word, and they talk numbers through and through, and this car's this number. When they're young, two blue cars, one, and they pick stuff that you don't see. I hope you don't tell them you talk a lot, trying to figure out where is this coming from. They may be on something. How they work with numbers. Linguistics, also known as verbal intelligence, exhibits its fluent form by poets. Some kids are very good with words, huh? I hope we don't shut them down for you talk too much, you know too much about for your age and all that stuff. No. Figure out why they're so good at expressing themselves. What can you use that for? How can you use that? That's an intelligence. We've done mathematics, now we're talking that you can be intelligent in the way you speak and just get it out.
Right.
And you can use it for different things, writing a book, speaking, poetry, singing. Many other things can be done. We'll look at that today. So all this is stuff that you can get paid for. That's what I'm saying. Everything I'm saying is stuff you can get paid for. Just in case what is he talking about? I'm talking about stuff that your child can get paid for when they grow up. Okay? They can get paid for knowing some good math. They can get paid for being a poet and all that stuff. All right? This lady, J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter. Good story, right? She's just a mom staying at home. And they clicked so she can write books. I don't think she has issues with that. She's very happy, I think. You follow that? So help them write stuff. Help them not. If you think they can write, encourage that. Whatever you think that they can get paid for in future, encourage that. What about that one? Yeah. Everybody knows about this guy. I listened to his interview the other day. He has a business plan for the whole family. I'm like, I didn't realize it. Yeah, but if you think, you have to get, I get interested with these people. I wonder, what is it about these people that makes them get paid so much? What is it about them that makes them tick? And you'll realize there's a lot of hard work they put in. I mean, I listened to him. He's quite an intelligent person. And how he runs, not everything may be aligned to Christianity, but in terms of just the intelligence he has, he runs that pretty good. Okay? What about musical? The ability to understand, comprehend, and or produce music related to one grasp, rhythm, or pitch, and tone. There's a lot you can do with that. I guess Melvin can tell us that. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with that. From writing to playing, I'm sure Hood knows what that can do for you. I mean, there's just so much we can do. And yet you have to ask yourself, sometimes we push children to do stuff just because you're seeing another child doing it. No, find what they're good at. Don't push them there because that's what your neighbor's child is doing. What is your child good at? Trying to expose them to these things. So you can get paid for that. These are IQs, they're intelligence. You see, when you depending on the generation you grew up, before there was very little space you could have, but today you can get paid a lot for anything. Whether you, if, as long as you're good at it, you will be. What about this special IQ? Ability to form a mental model of a special world and to be able to maneuver and operate using that model. That he can look at a block like this and form a picture out of something like this. Yeah. You can get paid for that. I'm trying to expand our horizon. It's not just doctors and pilots that we paid for. Everybody, you can get paid for this kind of stuff. What about this? This is the future. I heard the other day, I think it was on CNN, about 150,000 jobs are available in America, and they cannot find people to fit those tech jobs right now. Yeah, they can't. They're getting them out of Africa, out of Asia, to come and fit those jobs. The jobs exist in this country, but there's no one to fit it. So they're going abroad to get the people. It's really a good place to go. I guess Alan lived there once, so he knows the story. But it's a good place to go. Encourage them. As much as they play with them, encourage them to work with them. Sometimes they mess things up. Let them try and tinker with it. Who knows what will come out of that? What about navigational skills? I know some of us are all GPS, but some of us can remember without anything. You just go. You don't need a GPS. You're like, yeah, we were here. This side worked out. It's great. There's a lot of stuff, sailing and all that, but there's so much you can learn from this as well. So this again is something you can get paid for. What about this? Ability to solve problems or fashion products using one's whole body or parts of the body. Well, it can. Yeah. A lot of people, how many of us, I mean, I'm sure you know a name of a clothing you'd like to buy, right? Some line you'd like to buy. This is a good make. I think it's a good product. It's a guy who's just like that. In the olden days, you'd have called him a tailor. Today, he can get a line going. Now he's a designer. Now he's a designer. Back then, it was a tailor. Now he's a designer and going, right? In other words, we've got to start changing the way we view different professions. What is it that you're afraid of about your child? And you got to help them become good at their profession or whatever they're trying to. I mean, there's so much you can do. Because I think we're biased with different jobs. We prefer certain jobs over certain jobs. So we don't promote the qualities the kids have. Now, some jobs are going to be a hard place for them to be. If you're trying to help them be disciples, you got to ask them, listen, if you go this direction, there'll be issues. All right? And they need to know the realities of how you have to work hard. Naturalist, the ability to recognize, categorize, and draw upon certain features of the environment. Okay? As we go to the, I hope you take them to the park and walk with them and talk about different things. All this stuff can bring about dreaming. Or rather, as you expose your child to these things, they can help the child to start figuring out what they want to do. Park and harbor, design, landscape. Green jobs. How about that? I have a relative who is a millionaire today. His first job was landscaping. He was a landscaper. Now, in my culture, that was like, what? What kind of job? But he is. Out of that, everything built out of that. I'm just trying to open your eyes to the fact that sometimes you may look down on things and you don't realize that it's about the attitude that you take on these jobs with. Everything can change. So if we keep putting kids down for wanting to do what you wanted to do and you never did, you're going the wrong direction. Help them find who they are And then let's drive that. That's praise and acceptance. We're doing all this because of acceptance. So I'm showing a lot of different things that children can be. All right? Let me go here. Yeah, what about this interpersonal EQ? The ability to understand people, what motivates them, how they work and how to work, cooperate with them. We all know about Oprah, not for good reasons, but she knows at least to get the questions going. Right? She can do that pretty good. That's one. Interviews. So, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Why do you think we have that scripture there? Gentle word. Why? Yes. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we talk at children, not to them. So we got to look at the word and how we talk to our children. So we had to be gentle with how we talk to our children, not harsh words. Think about that. Really think about how you talk to your children. I would suggest that if you think that you get angry, just be quiet for a moment. Just for a moment. It says, then come back and address that issue. You'll see how different you'll start being. It'll change how you operate in your house. The dynamics will be different. Life traps, lessons from the Dead Poets Society. I've not shown, but here's a life trap. If you don't accept your child and praise them, here's what happens. The dad loved his son, but he loved his own dreams more. Everything was about the dad. Didn't appreciate his son's gift and strength. Instead of developing failure or negativity, he killed himself. In this movie, Dead Poets Society, I didn't want to show that clip today because it can be traumatizing. But here's the point. Let me explain. The father wanted the son to be a doctor because he was a doctor. The son wanted to be in acting, to do drama and all that stuff. He could just keep pushing until the child killed himself. The point I'm trying to make is that if you don't accept your child or praise them for who they are, they can develop failure and negativity as a life trap. What do I mean failure and negativity? A child that has failure issues does not try anything because they cannot take not being successful, so they don't try. So do you see how they become self-fulfilling? They don't try nothing. And they're also negative. Because they've had too much negativity coming from you or something around the school or whatever. It's normally school, home, and something. That's where all these issues come from. Does that make sense? So you have to understand how this can be a problem. If you've gone through this yourself, so now you're aware why you don't try, you can start trying. All right? So if you start trying, it's never too late. You can start whatever you decide to try, and you see what happens. Does that make sense? Once you accept yourself, I think you can accept your children. If you don't accept yourself, you have trouble accepting your children. So it's very important that you're accepting of self as well. Because then you'll accept your children. Identify and nurture. So what's your role as a parent? Identify these intelligences we've looked at. There are many. Those were an example. There are many intelligences. And nurture them. You identify what does my child do well? And nurture that. Encourage them to do that. What do they do? I'll encourage them to do that. That's your role. Our job as parents, expose, accept, encourage. So you expose them to this stuff. Maybe that's why you expose them to different things. You never know what they'll take in. When they're young, you're exposing. Then whatever that comes easy, you begin to encourage, you accept. Now, you have to remember that there are limitations towards what career and is this healthy long term? So you have to be talking about that as well, okay? At risk needs intervention. If there's a risk with you where they're going, then you intervene. Say, you know what? I don't think this is... We don't follow soccer, but there's a guy called... I think, is it Daniel Messi? Yeah, soccer player. Lionel Messi. He moved to the current team with his dad because he was so young. He was so young when they called him. I think he was like 12 or 13, and he moved with his dad there. So his dad was there because financially it was a big thing. There was so much money coming through. But how can you let your child go to such a place without you being there? His father's life changed totally. Of course, in later years, you have to manage that relationship because now all the money belongs to the son, but you've been managing it until he's 18. That changes the equation. You follow that? Just to show you how many parents have gone a little bit further to try and help their kids. Now, I'm not saying you all do that, but just to, that was an example of intervention and how he went with a child all the way from Argentina to Spain to figure this out. All right? At promise needs nurturing. So if this is promising, nurture them. Figure out what, but make sure they understand God, they understand perimeters, and nurture that, and you're involved with it. Does that make sense? So school, nurture that. Work, nurture that. And help them. Help them finish school. Help them do different things, but nurture them and say, you know what, you need to do this, then eventually we'll see what happens. All they need is a lot of encouragement. Encourage them a lot, and the kids will be feeling accepted for who they are, and praise will come into place. Am I making sense now?
Yes.
Ideas for nurturing IQ intelligence. Some ideas. Let's look at some ideas. Logical mathematics, CD games, CD-ROM. This is pretty old, available in shops. we'll get a much newer version. Hands-on manipulative, talk about numbers. You know, in a while, CDs are going to be obsolete anyway. Let's face it. That'll be gone. Talk about numbers and counting. So find what's relevant today and see what you can do together today, right? Let's see what happens and see how you can find ways to do that. So start very early. All you with young kids are in the best places. All the mothers and fathers of small ones, you're in the best place. But those of us with older children, we still can encourage and see what they can do, right? It's never too late. Hands-on. So all this is basically what you can do for a small child. Linguistics, read to your child. Foster a large vocabulary. Loudly, have fun with it when you're reading. Both predict future success. Have family. Your child cannot go wrong for reading, to be honest with you. Because when you go to university, the reading speed goes very high. And whether you graduate within 4 years and all that stuff. So you need to encourage them to read. Really stay on that game of read a book, read a book, read a book, read a book. Don't let them watch TV 12 hours a day. Especially on holidays. Get them reading.
Harry Potter is a good thing to get them reading.
Yeah, yes.
Reading to them is just as important as them reading to themselves.
That's the teacher speaking. Reading to them is as important as them reading to themselves. So let's go home and do some reading. The teenagers, not necessarily, but you can read to the young ones. Okay? Have family readings, devos. Just a quick question. I just want to, out of curiosity, how many of us have devos on a weekly basis? Devotionals. Okay, if you're visiting devotionals, you read the Bible, you discuss with your child and discuss about that. How many of us do that? On a weekly basis? Once? Okay, let me encourage you to do this. Have a devotional once a week. Choose the day. If they're grown-ups and they're teenagers, you have to do that separately. You can't put them together. And talk through the scriptures and talk about something that is about God and discuss through that. Am I making sense?
So you said if they're older,
separate. Yeah.
Go together and discuss.
No, just with them, one-on-one, discuss something. And you can do it as a family sometimes. But if you're trying to address something, separate. If they're a bit older. If you want to do it as a family, choose a scripture that you all discuss together on the table. And it shouldn't take you, if they're older, you can go 20 minutes. If they're younger, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. If they're this young, you sing a song, it's done. You do sing a song, it's done. That's devotion for you. Make sense? We really need to. The Bible talks about teaching, training. You have to talk to the children about this stuff. Talk to them. There's anything. You can talk about things. You think, what does God say about planning? What does God say about being organized? Teach them. Once a week will not kill you. All right? And get them in the habit for reading it for themselves. Okay. Musical. Encourage experimentation. Teacher should not be fierce. Sing as a family. Play beautiful music in your house. How about that? Depending on how you grew up, some parents didn't like you to do music because they said, oh, don't be a musician. Yeah, you can get paid for that stuff. Good money. So, let's see. Play some music. If they're young, play to music that is good for the children. Okay, let's see what happens. What about this? Have an art area at home, provide an atlas, early in life, talk about directions, use maps and websites. Don't discourage their artwork. Sometimes the artwork is not there enough. Don't discourage it. Keep encouraging them to do more. Okay? See what happens. Yeah, yeah. Let's encourage and see what happens when they're younger. What about this? Let them get dirty. Yeah, let the kids get dirty a little bit. I talked to one of my allergy doctors, and he explained to me that dirt is good. And I didn't understand what he explained to me, that dirt allows your body to understand how to be in balance when that comes in your body. If your body has never had dirt, whenever it gets any kind of dirt, it goes on overdrive and allergies begin to develop. Because now the body doesn't know. It's just fighting everything. So that is not a very bad thing. The child needs a bit of that exposure. A healthy dose of that. Not too much. Amen. Lots of outdoor activities, crawling and climbing, practice all sorts of sports and fun. Man, if you go on Sunday to these parks, the kids, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. So it's a great thing to do. For the young ones, this is where you want to take them. Naturalistic, encourage your children to grow a plant. Help them to recycle items from your home. Visit parks often. Talk about the beauty of nature. Walk, love for nature, and into your family holidays. Let's walk outside, guys. It's good season. It's good time. Well, if you don't react to allergies of pollen and stuff. Let's go out there. Ideas of nurturing EQ, intelligence, self-awareness. Especially for teenagers, you need to start talking about this stuff. Here's where the teenagers kick in. You've got to help your teenagers to be aware how they're behaving, what they do. Let's talk about this. Self-regulation. Help them to figure that out. Motivation, empathy, social skills. Start talking to them as early as 13, up 10, and you're talking about this stuff early in their life and they begin to see, to be aware how they're handling life, okay? It's very important here. Because this particular one determines whether you can succeed in any field. Any field, whether it's work, whatever it is, you need this. Make sense? Yeah. So if we don't, and we got to invest, there's a lot you can do here. As an adult, read a lot about how you behave and stuff like that. This book is great. It can help you be aware of why you behave the way you do. Then you start changing. Okay, ideas for nurturing EQ intelligence. Nurture EQ means helping children to perceive or sense emotions. Use emotions to assist thought, understand emotions, manage emotions, harness these emotions to stay. Is that engaged? Anyone can read for me there? Okay, we can't figure that out. Show empathy to others and have a good relationship skill. For anything to succeed, you need relationships with people, right? So question, watch your children as they're interacting with other people. How are they doing it? What's the problem? Keep observing that and helping them with that. Practicals and interpersonal, monitor their social skills much as their academic skills. Value their social life as much as their studies. Ask your children for their opinion. Praise specific comments or acts of kindness. So like this thing we had today, the announcement, we need to help our kids to help the poor. Let's see what your children do. Praise that activity, right? Also encourage your children to talk to other adults. Since I have the adults in the room, can we talk to our children, please? Like on Sundays, you have all these teens walking around. Reach out to them. Say, hello, how are you? How was your day? What's going on? Talk to our children, please. Talk to them. We are the village. Talk to these children when they walk around the place. Yeah, she put a good point out. Children don't know how to talk to people anymore because they're so much in social media. So we've got to teach that. That's a skill that was easier to teach, but now you have to teach our children how to talk to someone. You say, hi, good, one word, and they're walking away. You got to, hey, bring them out, talk to them. It may feel like, wow, this is too much work. Well, it is our generation now that will have to raise these kids and teach them how to talk. Okay? Let's really invest in our children. If we don't do that, who's going to do it for us? Talk to our children. Be interested in them. They're very perceptive, by the way. If you're just saying it because, if they find out you're only talking to them because I said so, they're going to shut you down so quickly. But if they see that you mean to know them, you want to know them, they connect. All right? So we need to do this more in the church because I don't think they connect at all, kids. Just sit on, they're on machines all the time. Let's help them to connect and talk to people. Practicals of interpersonal, create an atmosphere of openness. Listen, listen, listen. Provide time. One of the rules in my house is that when we are eating dinner, no phones. And you just, no phones. We got to talk to one another. Okay? So give meaning, attributions, explain why a lot. Explain why. Tell stories about the past, history, religion, your life. Let them have free time and an inner awareness, if I'm not wrong. An inner what? Life, yes. Okay? So let's develop this a lot in the house. Any questions around here? Exposure. Tell the story of your childhood. The details must be age appropriate. Don't tell yourself, if you tell your 10-year-old some stuff, they're going to collapse and say, what? You did that? Age appropriate. Try not to shock your children. Help them to learn from what happened. Tell the story of your childhood. Read about heroes. Learn together about history. Yeah, talk about what's going on. The history is what's going on. Visit museums, ballet, and the opera. So let's do all that stuff. Let me take this back. We're going to play a video. On this video, you will see what happens. He will try to see what the teacher is trying to do, and I'll explain later after we've watched the video.
I don't hear enough rip.
Miss Keating.
Mr. McAllister.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were here.
I am.
Ah. So you are. Excuse me.
Keep ripping, gentlemen. This is a battle. A war. And the casualties could be your hearts and souls. Thank you, Mr. Dalton.
Okay. He tells them, rip it out. He's trying to get them to get engaged. He was a teacher for drama and all that. And he tells them it's a battle. They will not find themselves. The whole movie is really centered about finding yourself. He gets them to walk in a circle and he tells them, let's see if you can walk differently. And how difficult that is. People start walking. They eventually all try to walk the same way. He says, that's what happens. You can't find yourself. It's trying as a battle, and the casualty is your hearts and souls. You've got to help your children find themselves. A lot of people die without ever knowing what they were meant for. So that was the exercise. Rip it out. Rip it out so that we can know, what were you meant for? That was the exercise. You can die easily without ever knowing why you are meant to live on this earth. That's very easy. It's sad too. But we can work at it. Even us, older generation, we can start finding that purpose. It's never too late. Albert Einstein started at 40-something. So we can start, you know. It's never too late. You can do something. But the key with this was helping the child find themselves. It's in this movie that the father, the child finds himself so much, but the father doesn't see it. Anything else you noticed as you watched the clip, short one?
No.
Yes.
He sort of defended his action when the other professor came in. He said, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right. It was not very proper, but he was trying to expose them. So let's see what happens. Yeah. Exactly. It's an individual. The child is an individual. So not everybody may understand where you're trying to drive this thing. Yes.
You can be afraid.
Exactly. Well, you cannot be afraid. And I think I want to talk to us as parents. We can get overly judgmental of one another. Because these kids are very different. But we can be so judgmental because we're trying to raise children that all look the same. It doesn't work like that. They're very different. Yes,
yeah,
Alan.
Yeah.
It's very important. Not ungodly. Being yourself is not being ungodly. It's being authentic. We're building that. We say we want to build care, help, safety, authenticity, growth, right? But you can't get to those things overnight. You do that because you have a place where you're getting help and you're getting care. And now you're not afraid to be yourself. And that way you can connect. Does that make sense? It's very important. One of the things that as a child when I remember that helped me was I was always a new kid in the block. And I didn't have to pretend to be part of them. I just knew I was new. I didn't fit. So who is who here? And for a while, I'll be the guy on the sidelines, just watching. You know, then eventually I'd come in. I figured, you know, this guy's a nutcase, but this guy we can deal with. And we build relationships like that. And my dad eventually just let go. But I saw what he did with the older children. He was very strong. He was very controlling. And all he got was rebellion. So I get the benefit of a guy who tried too hard that side and let me go. And I honestly feel like you need to get, remember we did the parenting style? If you're authoritative, you're going to have issues. If you're just allowing everything, you're going to have issues. You need to be purposeful and powerful. That's what you need to do. An engaged parent, but knows what he's trying to do, and purposeful. Yeah.
You know, and as far as acceptance and praise, even in going in that, like, you know, when you have multiple children and you have a child that's maybe more like you than the other child, the tendency is to be, you know, to be able to give a lot of praise and acceptance to the child that fits you, and setting other expectations for the child that doesn't.
So here's what we have to understand. We say that there's a child that always fuses with the family, and there's a child that sometimes not go away from the family, right? The one that fuses is easy to deal with because it's almost, you have a template with that. This other one has no template. So that child needs more of your attention and acceptance and praise than this other child. But don't ignore this one that is also connected to you. Does that make sense? And as we do that, what is important is to keep in mind that don't put these goals that your child must achieve, but be in the process of growing them. It's a process. It's not an event. So keep in the business of encouraging, helping, and not saying they're not doing what the other one was doing at this age. Well, they're not the same. You follow that?
Yep.
And in life, one child will go like this, then another one will go like this. They'll always do that to each other. But it's because you're comparing them. But if you just let them be, they're good. Give them what they need for the day. Something else was coming out here. So praise and acceptance, is that clear? So I think you might want to go home and ask yourself, what are my kids good at? And start trying to expose them into that. Okay? If you don't know what they're good at, try and show them different things. Expose them to the things we talked about. And you'll see that eventually something comes out. Then in school, help them to have a good attitude towards the subjects. Because in school, it's just structure. They cannot say, I don't like math, so I'm not going to go to math. No, they need to take care of the subjects. Finish that. That is the entry point to life anyway. Does that make sense? Now, when they're done with that, they can start. You've been figuring out as they were going along. So by the time they come to college, you know, okay, we know what they're good at. Let's try and drive this direction. But while they're there, they need to learn to do even the most difficult things. Because the whole idea of school is to help you with even stuff you didn't know you could do. Does that make sense? So let's encourage that. But don't forget the devotions once a week. Amen? Let's come up with a plan today. Don't wait for 1 week. You'll forget. Come up with a plan today. Let's agree. Dinner will be this day. We'll have 30 minutes or 20 minutes, 5 minutes. We'll have a good time. All right? If you don't know how to do it, ask around. You can ask me. Ask the elders. Find out anyone who does in the group. It's very easy. It's just fun. Create a culture of conversation. It's great. Does that make sense? When they're smaller, act out, make noises, fall around. Sometimes you're the giant and, you know, do a kind of, when they're older, serious conversation, the future, stuff like that. What do we need to talk about? And connect with them. Remember, it's going to feel awkward because you've never done this and the connection might not be there. And they're not used to it. Keep going until the awkwardness stops. All right? Keep going. Don't stop because it was awkward the first time. Keep going until it stops. Because you're learning as you do it. Does that make sense? Where it's difficult, come back. Let's keep talking. Next week, we'll finalize this. God bless you. Have a good time.